Right now, I have a conversation with Elliot Wu, one of the 2018 Gilmore Young Artists, who will be appearing multiple times during the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival. The first appearance is Friday, May 4th at 7:30 p.m. in Marshall at the High School Auditorium. Then on Sunday, May 6th, 3 o'clock at Vicksburg Performing Arts Center. And in Kalamazoo on Monday, in a 2 p.m. afternoon recital at Stetson Chapel on the Kalamazoo College campus. And Mr. Wu is also appearing with the Lansing Symphony Orchestra on May 11th. So, Elliot, that's a lot on your plate at this festival, and it's a great way for us to get to know you. Are you excited to be performing this recital program three different times? Does that appeal to you as a performer?
Yeah, I'm extremely, extremely excited. It's not something I've done in a while. I'm performing in three recitals in a week, and I am just extremely excited just to have the opportunity to perform in the Gilmore Keyboard Festival, and it's such an honor to perform along with other amazing artists in the same festival. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Now, I think you're not yet 20 years old, but you do have a lot of experience performing and also going to competitions and performing for a jury. You did rather well in 2015 at the Hilton Head International Competition, I believe.
Yeah, I had a great privilege just to perform all across the world, and a lot has to do with performing in competitions and festivals. You mentioned in 2015, I went to the Hilton Head International Piano Competition. And also in that same year, I also went to Cleveland International Junior Piano Competition and also E-Piano Competition in Minnesota. And that was a journey that I really, really appreciated. And I learned a lot from just grow as like a musician. And it really helped me become who I am today. And it really produced a confidence in myself in performing, and performing also in festivals across the world, like in Germany and Italy and in Poland, for example. That I learned a lot from the faculty there, and just being immersed in the culture in these places, it really helped me grow as a person too.
Yeah, that's great that you embrace that, you know, the chance to travel as a young person will actually help advance your learning and the chance to meet some really good people out there in the world too.
I mean, these festivals and competitions, you really get to meet all kinds of people. You get to meet the jury, you get to meet the participants in the competitions, and I feel like I learned best actually from listening to these contestants and these competitors and just learning from all the juries. I think what I look forward to most in competitions is actually not performing, but actually listening to other people, because I feel like I learn best from listening to them, and then you really benefit, just like your own performing experience from them too. So it's a both win-win in both situations.
Oh, I love that, you know, you put the competitor guy aside and you're there as a fan as well.
Right.
To hear repertoire, new repertoire sometimes, but you know, just different interpretations of pieces, and
yeah, absolutely.
Getting to know the voices of your own generation. Yeah, you grew up in California, is that right?
Yeah, I grew up in Fremont, California. So I actually know the previous Gilmore Young Artist winners like Daniel and Andrew Hsu. Our families actually knew each other before they moved to Curtis in Philadelphia. So it was we both knew each other, and it was funny because I remember we also did like mini house recitals for each other. Me and my sister, we were both pianists, and then the three siblings, the Hsu siblings, they're also all pianists. So we often did small piano recitals. And back then I was very, very small, and I was just started piano, so I was playing like very small Bach inventions and things. So yeah, it was really an honor to meet the Hsu family, and they're incredible. And I actually began piano because of my older sister. She's, 6 years older than me. And she began the piano. And back then, I think I was still a baby. So often my parents would remind me that while my sister was practicing, I would often sleep on the floor next to her piano bench while she practiced. And because we had carpet flooring, it would often get hot very easily. So I would sort of like move positions every 10 minutes, but it would sort of be like an orbit around her piano. So I often grew up listening to her practice, and I think that played a big role of how I began the piano. So a lot of it has to do with my sister, because I really viewed her as my role model.
That was your happy place.
Yeah, definitely.
I remember one of the Shue brothers telling me the story of how they heard they had been, they were going to receive the Gilmore Young Artist Award, and they took a phone call while at a Walmart in, you know, under the fluorescent lighting, staring at some sort of college supplies, and it just seemed so unreal to them. What is your story upon hearing that you had won the Gilmore Young Artist Award?
Yeah, Dan Gustin, I think he called my mom, but my mom missed the call, so he left a message. So then my mom told me that, Dan Gustin called her and that I should call back. So I think I was very confused at first, because I knew about the Gilmore Young Artist Award. And I looked up to everyone who's gotten the award in the past, and I didn't think at all that I would be able to even be recognized for it. So I was very confused. So I called Mr. Gustin back, and he was like, congratulations, you got the award. And at first, I was shell-shocked. I was speechless. I couldn't say anything. Nothing came out of my mouth for a solid, like, 10 seconds. And that news really didn't hit me until like a couple weeks later. It's an incredible honor and just a privilege just to be named the Young Artist Award. So I was definitely surprised, but I am incredibly honored.
It didn't sink in for a while, because maybe you were thinking, what if they need to take it back and give it to somebody else?
Exactly.
Well, now you're not in California anymore, because you're studying at the Juilliard School in New York City. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm currently a freshman at the Juilliard School. I'm actually in my dorm building. it's a wonderful place here. When I first got here, I didn't really know what to expect, because Juilliard really had like a stereotype of it being like very cutthroat and competitive. But I think once I got here, at Juilliard, the environment really changed my perspective of it. It's very, very supportive. And it's definitely not as competitive as everyone thinks it is. Everyone here is very supportive and talented. And it's just it's a very inspiring environment to be in. And just to be able to hear all kinds of music, plus hear people practicing, is already very inspiring. So I'm very glad to be here.
You have a famous piano teacher, Robert McDonald. Did he immediately demand a complete transformation when you arrived, or did he take what he found in you and is just guiding you more gently, or how's that working out?
Yeah, Mr. Robert McDonald, he's such a great teacher. And yeah, he is very well known. A lot of the past Gilmore Young Artist winners have also studied with him or are studying with him right now. Once I got there, I think he's such a nice person in terms and like he teaches in terms of what's best for the student. So every student he teaches differently. He teaches according to their strengths and what their weaknesses are. So once I got there, he immediately knew what my strengths and my weaknesses are. And it has really transformed my playing over the past couple of months. And I'm really, really appreciative for that.
My guest here is Elliot Wu, one of the two Gilmore Young Artists of 2018, performing multiple times at the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival beginning May 4th in Kalamazoo. He will perform a solo recital on Monday, May 7th at 2 o'clock in Stetson Chapel at Kalamazoo College. Let's talk about the pieces on your solo recital. And since we were just talking about Mr. McDonald, are there any pieces on the program that he especially loves or wanted you to play or that you associate with your time with him?
Yeah, definitely. I think one of my main pieces that I worked with him a lot was the Chopin Funeral March Sonata. He spent a lot of time really digging into the music and really understanding what Chopin was going after. And I've been trying to absorb as much of that as possible in the music. It was funny because my program, I discussed this with him quite a lot. And about 2 months ago, I had a completely different program. So right now, the program that I'm playing at the festival is something that I really, really love and I really connect deeply with. And I feel like that's what he really wanted us as musicians to give to the audience. It's something that we really believe in. And so the program now that I have is something that I just really want to play for people.
The Chopin Sonata is right at the heart. It's at the center of the program. But why don't I ask you about the first piece on the program, which I think is a terrific way to start. There's going to be a lot of people opening up their programs and looking at the name Giancarlo Menotti and going, I'm not sure I know who that is. And then you start playing the piece and you're like, I don't know if this is old or if this is a new piece. It's really hard to tell.
I didn't really want to start the program out with like a conventional like Bach piece or something, but I wanted to put something special that some people probably have never heard before. The Ricercara really transforms this conventional Ricercara work, conventional contrapuntal work, into some very, very improvisatory work that really brings the listener into a different world, and which makes this whole piece very, very interesting. And the toccata really complements that. It has a very fun-filled, virtuosic texture to it. And I feel like it's such a great piece to begin the program with. The piece is the Ricercara toccata on the theme minor from The O Man and Thief. Now, Menotti wrote The O Man and Thief as a radio opera. So it was commissioned by, I think, NBC, I believe, as a radio opera, and Menotti used one of the scenes from the opera and composed a two-part piece for the piano. And I remember watching the opera on YouTube the thief knocking on the door. So he uses that motive for the toccata. And the Ricercara is actually a contrapuntal work, which is what makes it interesting.
And then you completely show a different side of yourself with the beautiful romantic impromptu by Schubert that most of us do recognize. And you have to float that beautiful melody on top of this pattern that gets set up in the impromptu.
Yeah, I mean, the impromptu is such a gorgeous piece, and it really shows how much power that Schubert has just by creating a very simple melody. And there's so many ways of playing this impromptu, which makes the performer very nervous, but because of the responsibility one has to hold. But it's such a beautiful piece, and I really hope to help convey what Schubert really wanted.
As we mentioned before, the Chopin Sonata No. 2 is the heart of the program. It has a famous funeral march, and for a piece so well known, It occurs to me that it doesn't come up that often on solo pianist recitals.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the sonata is definitely one of, I feel like one of the harder works that Chopin have wrote, and I definitely understand why a lot of pianists don't put this piece in their program. I mean, this sonata is very different from a conventional classical sonata. Chopin was really not going for the basic sonata form that Beethoven or Mozart used in the past. I remember while studying the first movement, I was very perplexed by how he wrote all these different themes and how they all intertwine with each other, and how that movement related to the second, third, and fourth movement. I think one can see the struggle that Chopin had while composing this piece. I read while he was composing this piece, he actually just got back from learning that he had this lethal disease that he was struggling with, and some say that he only had a certain number of days to live. So he really had the image of death in his mind while composing this piece, which really represents why he wrote the third movement, the Funeral March. It's such a powerful and dark movement, which is complemented also by the B section, which is this very calm and warm and kind of a little bit hopeful lullaby, which really complements the Funeral March itself. I think I like to see it as like somehow he thought it was like a hope or like a glimpse of heaven of what bliss would feel like.
The program continues with a selection of pieces by Sergei Rachmaninoff, and then we hear a famous Beethoven sonata, the Appassionata. What are some of your associations with these works?
So the Rachmaninoff preludes are actually one of the pieces that I have the most history with. The D major prelude especially was one of my mother's most favorite, and she requested for me to learn it. And it really holds a special place in my heart. And it's also complemented by the G major prelude, which has a slightly different texture, but also a very, very soothing and calm texture to it. And it concluded with the A minor, a very, very virtuosic and fun-filled texture to it. And then I'm concluding my program with the Beethoven Appassionata, which is one of my most favorite sonatas written by Beethoven. I feel like my program, it teeter-totters between like death and like very, very calm and blissful melodies, which I hope it brings the listener on like some kind of roller coaster.
Well, Elliot, there's only one other thing to mention that you're playing, and it's a big thing. You've already talked about Rachmaninoff preludes, but we need to touch on the fact that you are bringing an entire concerto by Rachmaninoff to the festival, and you're appearing with a symphony orchestra in Lansing on May 11th. Would you prepare us for the concerto number two?
Yeah, I mean, this concerto is probably one of my most favorite concertos to play, and the performance I'm going to have with Lansing Symphony Orchestra will be my first performance, so I'm really looking forward to that and extremely excited. I don't have humongous hands, so definitely his writing is incredibly hard for me, but I feel like my Mr. McDonald has really taught me how to use my hands most efficiently and how to not injure myself, so I feel like that's most important to me right now. And you can see a lot of portraits that Rachmaninoff has taken, and he looks very, very cold and distant. But his music is like the complete opposite. It's so, so touching. And, oh, I just can't wait.
Well, I think audiences here are going to be just amazed by what you have prepared, both as a soloist with an orchestra and as a recitalist performing in Marshall, Michigan, Vicksburg, Michigan, and here in Kalamazoo at Stetson Chapel on May 7th. Elliot, have a great time at this festival, and I hope we see you again soon.
All right, thank you for having me.